Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken, producing passion style.
Hello, we're on the air. Hola, ¿qué tal? Me llamo Catalina. My name is Kathy. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders. And tonight I was going to have Medicine Walker Kimberly on the show there. And just 5 minutes earlier, at 5 minutes till nine, she gave me a phone call. Or I gave her a phone call, and her daughter was in a car accident and thrown from the car. Her daughter's fine, but the person that was driving or the person that was in the car was killed. So if we could just take a few moments and just gather our thoughts, gather our prayers, and send them out to Medicine Walker's daughter and all the lost child that was in the wreck and the family member. It was due to slippery roads. There wasn't any hazard, you know, any misconduct there. And you never know, do you? It's like a split second. We could be here 1 second, the next second gone. I mean, you think about it. The last time you tied your shoe or the last outfit you put on and said goodbye to someone. So we have a rule in our family that you never hang up mad. You never go to bed angry. And you always say, I love you more, or I love you the most, because life's too short, man. It's just too short. And, you know, even with Medicine Walker coming on the show, we didn't know what we were going to talk about. We never do. But the thing is, but contradicts the thing before, I know that I hear a lot of little cliches that I say out there, which is great, and other people's cliches that they say out there, which is great. That means the message is getting out there. That means that people are feeding off of one another, which is even greater. And it's just an honor and a privilege to know that people pick up things that I say and repeat them back out into the universe, because that's what it's all about. It's about sharing. It's about putting that positive power back out there into a production that is just the most awesome, awesome, awesome message. Now, I want to say the 24th of May, I do little rituals once in a while, and I hope I never get carried away like I've done before when I get angry and do one. Because it's very dangerous to do these things if you're angry, bringing in shamanism or whatever medicine that you can practice that you have learned and studied with the elders. Or, you know, it's like I was telling Kimberly earlier today, some people go to school to, you know, for part high school. Some people go to school and graduate. Some people go to school and get a 2-year degree, you know, like an associate's degree. And some people go to school to the master doctrine degrees. I studied with the Native American grandmothers to the doctrine degrees. And I learned as much as possible with how to live off the land, what to eat. I've told you all this before, but the new listeners out there, I gave a miniature reading last night. I like to do deep root readings and give personalities of what a person feels and sees. Each person is different, but I ask a lot of the same questions. And I went to school with this person, and she said, I can't believe you know me so well, but you don't know me at all. And I said, that's because it's a gift. You know, focusing and saying the first thing that's on your heart, because like even in a test, the first answer is the correct one, always, because that's the God center. It's before any thought processes have gotten into the mind. And, you know, if you get a thought process into the mind when you are thinking of some particular aspect of something, then, like you start thinking, I've got to go to the bathroom, I've got to get something to eat, or I've got to get some gas in the car, I've got to go to the bank, or, you know, why did so-and-so say something like that to me, or wonder if I acted such and such a way. You know, all those thoughts will go into your subconscious mind, and they'll keep penetrating until you give that, until the subconscious mind will give you an answer back. So the first key lesson that I learned before I studied with the Native Americans and before, you know, I was always raised a strong, devout Christian, but I was also raised Wiccan. So I was 13, very strong Wiccan indeed. And the thing is that they balance each other because they're both very spiritual. However, as you all know, I'm a devout Christian of the Holy Spirit. I'm Holy Spirit fed. So, you know, all the practices coming together. And what I want to get at is the energy in the subconscious mind and our thoughts. Because energy, it breathes off of oxygen, okay? And oxygen is the first thing that when we come out of the womb, okay, the safe place, the safe haven, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the true creation, then the first thing we do is grasp for breath. The energy is placed inside of us. When we go, that's when the energy evolves. Now, I'm just coming to these aspects as I'm talking because it's just a Holy Spirit given message here that if that's the concept that I'm gathering right now, is oxygen feeds the energy, then I said previously that the chicken and the egg, which comes first, and I said the egg because we're evenly yoked and all that. Well, I told my mother the other day, I said, I came from your womb, and your sister, though you took care of her all these years, since she was a little baby, and she was pushed back into the birth canal because the doctor wasn't there yet, and she was traumatized. Well, look at that. I'm looking at this right now, so bear with me. She wasn't able to grasp her breath, the energy that she needed to evolve. So my grandmother would say she was a very nervous baby, Lala Bean. And she's one of 14 children, and she's the third, and Linda Lala Bean is like the 10th. Billy Dickey, Shirley, Freddie, Billy, Diddy, Danny, Ruthie, Emily, Lynn, Lynn, Gabriel, Paul, and she's the 10th. So the thing is if she wasn't allowed to come out, her energy is so strong. She's probably the most overpowering aunt I've got. But my mother keeps to her like that's her own child. But I was telling my mother, I said, I came from your womb, though. I said, she's your sister. And I said, Mama, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And she goes, the chicken. I said, well, I had the concept that we're evenly yoked and that the egg comes first. She said, God said, let there be. There you have it. Let there be life. Let there be forms of humans and animals, and place the animals on the earth. So my mother, our elders, the grandmothers at the reservation, they're so wise. If you listen with what they have to say and just ask the question to the ones that have already lived longer than us, then the wisdom, Daddy used to tell me all the time, the wisdom is so deep. And he would say, You ought to listen to me. He always said ought. So when I see A-U-G-H-T-H or ought not to, you know, on the internet or someone using that word or niche, those are my dad's, you know, niche. Those are my dad's country words because he would say light bulb or rough, you know, ought not to. That means you ought to think about it and not do it, ought not to. And so the thing that I'm getting at, I guess, is the fact of the matter being that it's, I was telling my mother, I said, you know, it's funny to see those words out there being born, because Daddy will, I told Daddy I would tell his legacy and I'd tell your legacy. Mom goes, don't put my name on the internet. Don't put me out there on the internet. I don't have anything in that internet, you know. And I said, well, you really do, because you're called, you know, I say Mama or Mother, or I'll say the motherboard or something like that, because it's like that's who you are to me. Now, Daddy comes to me a lot, and he I don't hear voices, because the reason being is if I would hear the voices, then that would get me to thinking, is there something wrong with me, or, you know, like that. I don't even hear my own voice when I think inside my head. I've learned to channel it to where it's the thought process is pure into the heart. And last night, I was saying my prayer to God, and I said, you know, please, my computer, I have a Macintosh. I'm going to start a new chapter. Let's turn the page, because this is a whole new subject. And it's I've written many letters, and I've worked with the highest end security since July 23, 2006. I've had 7 computers. I've had several refurbished due to some people that I know wanting to take some of my work and, you know, just to aggravate me. Well, I told Macintosh computer, I said, let's watch this computer to see if this group hacks it. Sure enough, as soon as I booted it up, Macintosh got hacked. I want to protect these people. I don't want them to get into trouble. But the thing is that these protectors, that they gave me this software, and it routes the IP number, it routes the their address, their home address and everything. And even if you erase the computer system, they told me that you can get this disk called Recover My Files. It will bring back every little thing that's ever been on the computer. And it'll bring back, you know, to the detail of even where you searched, a picture that you've erased. And it doesn't matter. It's going to bring it back. Even a fried blue screen hard drive, they can get into it. So with that given, people that are playing around thinking that it's a toy or thinking, oh, it's a game that I can get into so-and-so's computer, it's 12 years, they told me, imprisonment for each time that a person hacks a computer. 12 years imprisonment. So if a person's hacked one computer, and it goes to another computer and hacks another computer. Because here's the key. If you click on a few of my links that are attached to certain places, they turn red. That's what they told me to look for. And that's how they caught the hackers. If you click on a link and it's going to turn red, then that's going to go back into a certain person that they've programmed. The red is for caution. And it goes right back into the main system. Now, they also hacked my cell phone, and that's a whole other story. But getting back to what my prayers were about, I asked God to protect me, my family, my children. And, you know, I was just going on and on, and God whispered to me softly in my heart. He said, take care of you. Take care of you. And then we'll work on taking care of others. So if I take care, and I said, oh my gosh, that's so simple. That's so simple. I have to ask forgiveness of myself. I have to ask myself to be there for myself. And I have to depend on myself within myself first and then go to another person. And I don't know why. Can you hear that noise? I'm sorry. There's there's a big thunderstorm here. So what I was going to tell you is also that the truth, you know, the thing, a lot of stuff's going around about truth. And, you know, my law is my truth. And I wrote a piece about truth. And it's sanctify them by your truth, which is my truth. So I said, my mother says, I'm brutally, bluntly honest to a fault. I cannot tell a lie. It is embedded in me. It is instilled in me because if I did, I would get the worst whipping, and I'm talking whipping. Remember, I'm 53. Back in the day, you got the belt, and I mean to tell you, Daddy would pull that belt off, wrap it around his hand, and go at it. And if we cried, we got whipped harder. But that is one reason I know not to lie, and Satan is the father of lies. And planting those little seeds in your head, the deception. So if I keep my thought process clean, going back to the situation of the subconscious mind, and if I have to do so, acknowledge my thought process, okay, number one, acknowledge the thought process. If it's something that I don't want to work on or think about, and it was planted in there by someone saying something, then I say, you know, a little prayer of turning it into the ultraviolet flame of Saint Germain. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, hello there, Miss Brightlight.
Hey, Carmen.
Carmen.
I can hear that it's you, girl.
Oh.
This is my cousin Carmen, everybody.
Well,
how are you?
Huh? I'm good. Has Medicine Walker been on yet? I just was able to get on.
Well, what I placed that on the Facebook. Medicine Walker's daughter, 5 minutes prior to the, and I just announced this on air, her daughter was in a massive car wreck, thrown from the car, and the driver was killed. So she won't be with us this evening, so we placed out prayer for them. She's on her way to pick up her daughter.
Oh, but, I say prayers for them all and for the family of the...
Yes, everybody,
that,
because you can,
like
I said earlier, you never know from 1 second to the next. That's why, you know how our family is, Carmen. We never hang up mad or aggravated or angry anymore because it's, you just never know when the last time you're going to see someone. Oh, guess who's coming? Saturday.
Hey.
Excuse me, you active listening audience, but this is interesting. Y'all find it interesting, too. You know, Uncle Ronnie, I gave him a reading 3 years ago. He thought I was crazy, intuitive. I told him that he was going to be like Mr. Scapucci and be a very famous composer of violin music. And he thought I was a nut. I mean, he said, what are you talking? And then on his birthday last year, I called him, and I told him, I said, happy birthday. He said, you're not going to believe what I'm doing. He says, I'm playing the violin. And he says, I'm composing. I said, well, and then I said, I see concertos and all this stuff. He's got big posters out, Carmen, in Best Buy places like that now. Uncle Ronnie. And he's also got, he's on his third CD, and he's coming to visit him and Aunt Peggy on Saturday to work on some more stuff. And they're bringing their dog, Junebug.
Well, how blessed that would be. He is so talented. I have enjoyed his music.
Can you come down and visit?
So have my students.
Can you come and visit maybe Saturday or Sunday morning? Because you'll only be here, you know, it's a four-hour drive. I think it's, what, 2 hours for you. But, I mean, you know, we have a lot to give out there, and we can tape a show or something.
That
anyway,
cool.
Carmen, tell me, if you could give the active listening audience, we're talking, I was just getting on truth, sanctify people with your truth, and your word is truth. What?
Well, I was listening before I got on about, you are very honest, Kathy.
Mama says it's
brutal. And sometimes it is. Sometimes that's your plus and that's your negative.
Well, Mom and I discussed this the other day. If someone comes at me and attacks me, I attack them back with their brutal, honest truth of themselves. I don't say names. I don't say anything wrong or hurt. You know, I tell them their honest-to-God truth, and it's hard to look in the mirror at that.
Well, that's true.
The truth. And that's the truth. You know, that's just...
People people don't
I have to harness it.
Yeah.
You know,
some people like to hide behind a lie.
Well,
and
you know, if I'm attacked,
they have to see the light.
Right. If I'm attacked.
Exactly. You have the bright light. Sometimes the bright light is being put into the light of truth.
You know what, the mom, I told my mom, I said, Daddy said my light's so bright sometimes, Carmen, that it overpowers certain people that's been in the dark for so long. And he said that I needed to look at certain people like that they are just adjusting their eyes to the light after they've been asleep for a long time. So maybe that's what it is about the truth, you know, being bluntly honest. But I just, I hate the strong word too, Carmen. I can't tolerate a lie. It drives me up a wall for someone to lie or to bend the truth or to exaggerate, or you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I color things slightly prettier than they, you know, or slightly different here and there. But to honest to God, bold-faced, bluntly lie, that drives me up a wall, and I come out with some bluntly truthful stuff. And I tell you what, Carmen, I just want to thank you for helping me raise such three fine children, babysitting all the time and being there with me, and the tumbling and the gymnastics that you had me open up. Girl, everybody listening audience, Carmen is a PE teacher, and she was up for, what award was it? It was the National Teachers Award.
Well, it's the National Teachers Certification.
Yeah. I mean, you have done some. And you also were going to go to the Olympics. Are you still going to do that for fast walking? I mean, you get your goals.
It's always in my mind.
Huh?
Right now in my mind is I want to write a couple books.
Do you?
I want to write a book on changing how children are taught in the classroom and making it personal ownership learning. So children set goals and learn at their pace, and that way it's truly their independent learning, being guided through things. I think we need to change the role of a teacher to a coach. And when we do that, I think we'll see
the children. Like a life coach. Carmen, that would be awesome. You know, you are going to run for president, too.
I am still.
No, you still are? Good.
Yes,
well,
I just
you
got
make
to
a great
to
president.
Cambridge.
You know so much in politics, and you're so well-rounded in almost every aspect that I can think of. We can carry on a conversation with to the nth degree with any, you know, thing that I pull up. You just are there with it, you know? The thing also is, tell us about some of the charities that you work in.
Well, I'm very involved with the American Heart Association, as many of the other people in our family are, to help fight heart disease. This year, I also have organized a jump rope team for the state of South Carolina, and we travel all across the state, not only demonstrating jump rope skills, but sharing heart facts, sharing what the signs of a heart attack or a stroke are, some simple ways to start getting healthy so that you can help fight heart disease, because any day you can start being healthy.
Yeah,
so
DDS important. Is all about health, I tell you. You know, they have a good count, and they have, there's just so many different people that are for natural and more, you know, putting out there about the oils and stuff, saturated fats. And I need to talk to you after we get off the air about my heart, because I've been having these real weird pain, and it sounds like your mother that had the trouble about that. But that's another thing. I don't want to worry about that right now. Carmen, what do you think of feel? I need to say, what do you feel? Because if I say think, then I'm using the logic. And if I say feel, I'm trying to get used to that. If I feel, then it's right in my heart. What do you feel about the state of affairs of the world?
I believe we're under a cloud of illusion. I feel like there's so much hope, even though we're in a dark spot right now as a country, trying to find our way out. I think people are looking at fake answers, or, you know, almost like fake idols. People want to find an answer, and they want it to be right now. And as a parent or as a teacher or as a coworker, a lot of times when you take those shortcuts, you end up having to go back and do the work twice as long.
That's
and I think we're short.
It's like taking a synopsis, right? Reading that instead of the book of life.
Right, and I do believe that people are trying to make change, and they want to make changes, but, you know, now the whole credit situation is totally different. Now all these people who have lost their homes are the ones that need to buy a home to help the industry get back up, because the people who have credit already have the homes. So how do we help these people get back credit worthy? See, nobody thought about that problem.
My niece on Marty's side, Caroline, and also a friend of mine, Gene Pedro, that he's the number one real estate blogger. Things are picking up for the first-time homeowners, but not for the ones that have lost their home. Now, the thing also is, I was telling some people about, you know, how my dad did it. You know, how he took the he's self-made, and how he's fixed it to where we can't sell anything, but yet it feeds us for generations to come. Because they like to, the world likes to attack the people that have money. But Daddy was a hard, honest working man. He made his monies for his family because he had never had anything. And he came from hardship. And Mama came from wearing cardboard in her shoes for, you know, the bottoms of her soles, you know, until the granddaddy, her mutt daddy, didn't make the money until after she was gone. You know, it's like they had two sets of families, you know, because of the 14 kids. But what I don't understand, Carmen, is why is there such an attack on the people, the humbled people that have the money that provided for their generations of family members, or the one, you know, not all people, just because there's one or two, you know, a dozen bad apples in there, there's still one or two good ones still in the pot. Do you suggest the world? I feel like the world is in such a spiritual warfare of power. And power, trying to have power and gain the power, is what causes the wars. And the power is all ego. And the ego is all from the wounded inner child self and the wounded inner self that has not accomplished something that the adult self is not given to sacrifice to listening to the inner self. If that makes any sense, I know that's pretty heavy.
That seemed textbook perfect. I don't think a psychologist could have stated that better.
It just came to me just now. So, I hadn't even thought about it. I like to talk with you because the reason being is you pull out a lot of things that I need to look at. And also, as well as, we're good mirrors with each other. Can I ask you something else? This is one of the puzzles I'm working on. The truth is the purest thing, right? It's the truth is the truth. But even a lie, someone lying, is its truth in its own truth's vat. You see what I'm saying? A lie is its own is its own truth because it's a lie. Does that make sense to you? It's pretty heavy. Again, well, it's an inadequate for two reasons, because the thing is the corresponding to the reality that's offered for that statement is like, this theory depends on opposing, you know, the views of truth. So if you look at it like, if one believes that it is true and they place it in their heart that it's true, and then they project it out as truth, and others grasp it as truth, then that's going to represent that state of affairs which it's referring to. So
absolutely. Did you watch Good Morning America today?
I never, ever turn on the TV, Carmen. I just
don't want to beat
my head with anything.
But it was very, I said, talking about exactly what, there was this gentleman on there who his father had told him his mother was dead for 43 years or something like that. And the mother, after they divorced, said the son had died, and they never tried to find each other. And that dad took that lie to the grave. But both those people took his word to the truth. They never looked for the other.
that's what I mean. Exactly.
Thank you, and that's exactly what you're saying.
An example of what I meant. Because Mama says I need to get more on layman terms with, you know, right, like with Susan and people. But that is perfect, Carmen. And what other thing is, if the wrong are so consistent in the wrongdoings, that truth is very consistent of that lie.
But see, that's the devil's work.
That's the seed of deception. Yes.
It is.
Because we're,
the thing is,
as
we are
children,
so not pure
as little
at heart,
innocent children, we're. I mean, it's like taking our first steps and leaping into the arms of the trusted caregiver. You know, we got to trust that they're going to catch us if we fall for our first few steps in life. So their word, if they told that person that their mother was dead, you know, that's their caregiver. And if they gave no other reason or means that it was not true, then, you know, what do you feel or think about someone using other people's words and actions and claiming them as their own instead of just talking, you know, what they've learned in life? Because I give and give and give and give and give and give and give, but I do not expect anything in return. The thing that I'm getting at is a friend of mine. She gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And then she withdraws after she's given so much and almost gets aggravated or sick or depressed or angry at all the giving that that she's given to the certain person or the people, because it's drained her of her energy and she hasn't been fed back with anything. Maybe it's because she hasn't learned to receive.
Well, you know, there's two parts to that. Some people don't know how to receive.
Uh-huh.
And they put up walls.
What do you think
that's for? I'm one of those people.
I was like that as well, because I felt I didn't deserve it.
So true.
I always felt when I was growing up that I did not deserve to have, to ask for anything back. Because my family, this is a little kid's analogy now, you got to think of that. My family always took care of other people at Christmas and Thanksgiving and things like that. Now, we had good Christmases, but the thing is that, and, you know, holidays and birthdays and such, but the thing is that it was one or two meaningful gifts, not a whole elaborate, a bunch of them. It was meaningful. And I was taught to just be humble with that. And then I was thinking today, people are very, 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 very proud. But then there's pride that won't allow the humbleness to come in to keep the proudness at bay. The pride of it, you know, when someone's wrong, promptly admitting it, getting that out of their head, so it doesn't make a committee in their head, or, you know, like the subconscious mind talking back to them, you know, and stuff like that. So I know I'm just bouncing, aren't I? Can you tell I haven't taken my medication for my ADD?
You are bouncing, but they're all intertwined, because what everything you're saying relates to people knowing their inner selves. And a lot of people are so busy worrying about other people, other things, what I have, that they forget to nourish their own self. And when you nourish yourself, Mitch was explaining it to the kids the other day, because they got in trouble. You know, I love my kids, they're good kids, but they'll get in trouble. And Mitch goes, let me explain it to you this way. Everybody has an emotional bank. And if you withdraw and withdraw and withdraw from somebody, but you never feed back, eventually your well is going to be dry. So whenever somebody gives you something or you ask for something emotionally, you got to make sure you put back something in that person's bank, or they're not going to be able to give again. They're going to be unable to give when it's important for somebody else. So we all have this little internal emotional bank.
Uh-huh.
Either it be pride or appreciation or respect or valued. but we all have that emotional bank. And sometimes if we have a wall up, nobody gets to put in, then eventually we do dry out, just like you mentioned with your friend.
And you have to keep that glass half empty and half full on both aspects. Not too much and not too little, just right.
And caring and giving people like you, sometimes it's so easy to give because you like seeing that smile of somebody else's. And that smile may fill your bank some, but it's not the same.
Yeah, see, I don't get to see the smiles that I give out because I'm on the Internet with it. As a matter of fact, my mother just found out just 2 days ago that I was in, you know, a couple of books. And, you know, I don't tell my family what I'm doing. I know that's wrong, but she said, why ain't you told me this? You know, you're more. And I was like, it's just because I don't, you know, it's mine. And it was on honor for, you know, the other person to ask to write stuff about me because I'm not putting it out there. But, Carmen, you putting a book out there is probably one of the great, with that idea and concept, because you care. What irks me is people spitting out books that are so much alike the next person's book instead of using their own niche and their own thing. But a lot of people, but contradicts the sentence before, a lot of people are writing books to write like a journal or to write concepts so that they, and self-publishing themselves, so that they can understand it, what they have learned themselves.
Well, you know, it's like everybody's purpose-driven life. That may be their way of doing it.
Purpose-driven life.
Excuse me?
Did you just say purpose-driven life?
Yes.
Did you know there's a book out called The Purpose-Driven Life?
Yeah, I've done it.
It's a little old.
But I realized I don't know what my purpose is. After 40 days of doing it.
I feel that you touch so many children. You have this gift of giving to the young minds and the young hearts and making each child so feel so special. And seeing, like that video of Jason, where he won the Yahtzee.
Yeah, and the tongue.
That was so funny. But you remember him doing that against Ashley, that same dance, you know? And uh-huh. You know Ashley's, you pinpoint each child's behavior and each child's understanding. It's just like working with older people. You have to be, it's a gift, you know, to work with younger people or older people. It's like it's a gift to be a neonatal like Wendy, my sister-in-law, you know, being a neonatal intensive mm-hmm. care nurse. It's a gift. People don't realize that they are in their niche and in their gift because they are so used to doing it for so long. Sometimes we have to turn the picture a little bit different or stand up on a table and look at a different angle, you know, like writing that book and being a coach for school. Carmen, that's a fabulous idea.
Well,
and that's a different perspective of learning.
I love the whole education process, and I love what I do every day. I wake up, and I can't wait to go to work. I mean, I'm a teacher, and I'm probably one of the only ones that's bummed at summertime. I mean, I enjoy sleeping in. Don't get me wrong.
Are y'all out of school now?
Yeah, we got out Friday.
Around here.
Excuse me.
When did you get out?
We got out last Friday. Alicia graduated Saturday. We sent you an invitation.
Is that what this is? It says mentioned Carmen in Columbia 29212. It's sitting right here. I see it. Mama, you sent it to Mama's house. No, she got it out of the mailbox.
No, your mom got it from
Mom. No, Mama loves to get my mail. But you know what's funny? I lived at the apartment at Walnut Springs.
And I think I sent it to that address.
Willow? Yeah, that's what the thing is. But, I mean, ironically, look at the Willow and the Willow. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know I love weeping willows. I was thinking today to get a weeping willow tree, but it always goes to the water. Oh, Carmen. I want to tell the listening audience this, too. You know, I have a stray cat, and it had kittens under my deck. Yeah, remember when I posted that on the Facebook and everybody's telling me how to get the kittens up? Well, Donnie, the guy that cuts my grass and, you know, helps around my yard, he said, before you know it, you're going to have 30 cats out there because they're going to breed. He says, they're going to all become adults. He said, you better quit feeding them and call the Humane Society. So I had to look at that, you know, and say, well, what does that represent to me? What is this cat telling me, you know, as an animal totem? Oh, and the rabbit, by the way. I've been thinking about the rabbit because you said you were a rabbit for your animal totem.
I'm a rabbit.
Right. Now, to me, the rabbit is very, very witty, and it's very quick, and it catches things real fast, and it scurries and burrows itself. It goes like in the Matrix, going down into the rabbit hole, or like quick as a jackrabbit, or Alice in Wonderland going into the rabbit hole. Think of all the things that a rabbit does, you know. And it also finishes a race first. But did it grasp everything along the way? And then I pulled up a squirrel. I kept pulling up squirrel pictures. I was making a YouTube lesson. I said, Carmen was a rabbit. What's this squirrel doing in here? I mean, what's this rabbit doing in this squirrel thing? And then I realized, because I was thinking, I don't know if you felt me thinking about you last night and today, but I was talking to Medicine Walker on the phone about it. And I said, what all, instead of reading off the internet what things represent and mean, I like to get them from my own spirit. You know what I mean? Because everybody has gotten them from their spirit that's written it, unless they got it from another person. By the time you get that information off the internet, it's watered down. So what did the squirrel represent that went into your rabbit was that it was saving things up, you know, not so much as a hoarder, but it, like, it'll bury things here and there, like squirreling them away for a rainy day. It always has enough. It always replenishes itself. It eats only natural things. It does not eat another animal. And it respects highly the other animals. And it stays together in family. And they also have their times that they hibernate, but don't really hibernate, but they come out, but they don't. And it's like a rabbit in a way because of the way that it runs, scurrying away. It's very intuitive, which you are, and it's very insightful, which you are. And it also is very uses its gut instincts. Its balance is very strong, which you are. So I also saw squirrel medicine with your rabbit medicine.
Cool. Well, what's real funny is we call Alicia Squirrel.
Really?
Yeah, because her hair, she puts it in a ponytail, looks like a squirrel's tail.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? You know, did you hear what before on the show when I was saying to the active listeners? I know y'all are still out there, active listeners. Carmen and I are just talking because, you know, Evident Footprints was having he's on at 10 o'clock on Pacific time and 10 o'clock Pacific time, and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning here. So he was having a conversation about some things with this really great guy. I think it was Ken Adachi that night. But I called up on there, and I said, get I called on the show, and I said, get to your investigation, because he's an investigator. He's phenomenal at what he uncovers and stuff. And he goes, right now we are. He was uncovering, you know, a certain thing, but it wasn't the same thing that he usually covers. So it was like throwing me for a loop there, you know. And so I was thinking, that's what it's all about, is the humanistic side of being on, you know, the air. Like with you and I right now, the humanistic, just talking on the phone, but yet we're on the air. Or however they patch you in, I don't know, at the radio.
Well, I think this is a way of us sharing, or you sharing, your weaknesses and vulnerability.
Uh-huh.
That maybe that will help people to lower that wall so people can fill up their cup half full. And they may say, you know what, maybe I'm that person. Maybe I put up walls and I always give and give and give, and then you have... Eventually, sometimes you even get resentful. because, you know, the people you have may have squandered what you gave them or didn't appreciate the way you felt. And so then that puts this bitterness in you. But then when you really look back, did I give them a chance to thank me? Was I listening for the little details when they nodded their head or that smile to fill my cup? So we may have been talking, but I believe what we were discussing could be so beneficial to so many people's lives that maybe they just never saw it that way. So even though it's a conversation between two cousins, which I do think we're two peas in a pod.
We definitely are. Princess and the pea.
But there's something to learn all the time.
Ten years difference, mind you. I was talking earlier about wisdom and stuff, you know, to listen to your elders. I'm your elder. No, I'm just kidding. No, for real, Carmen. You know, the thing is that with any person, if you really care, which to me, I'm not going to give my time on a telephone. I'm not going to answer it, or I'm not going to answer an email, or even on a post, unless it's really meaningful. You know, what someone, I was telling my mom this the other day, I said, what is bothering when something bothers me? She was not listening to me. This was a week or so ago. And I keep a rocket in a chair, in the rocking chair, a rocking chair. So you get it? Uncle Ronnie gave me this huge rock, and I put it in the rocking chair because rocking chair is worry, you know, that gets you nowhere. You know, you get worries like a rocking chair gets you nowhere. So I said, when something bothers me, I go sit, I pick that rock up because that's my boulder that of dumping the, you know, the heavy baggage of the rock that I carry around. I don't want to carry them around, so I'll pick up that rock that's about maybe 5 pounds and put it in my lap, and I'll rock. And I'll place that thought into that rock that's bugging me about a person, place, or thing, and I'll say, okay, what is it showing me about myself? And I try to keep my vessel clean immediately, so that I don't have it build up and I explode.
Do you know I have that rock for you still in my car? I drive around with it all the time.
Oh, the one I gave you?
No, the rock you asked me to get you when I went up to
The one that from
Hotel de Boulevard.
Davy Crockett up at your sister's place in Asheville. Boom. Oh, you got it. Why did Grandma Holzhauser's split in the road?
Right. Holzhauser Highway. It's the west highway goes through Boone.
Grandma. You know, Uncle Ronnie and Mama went out to the 1300 Queens Road West, and, you know, that house is not being sold again. One of the Panthers guys bought it, and Ronnie and Mama said, I believe this house has got a little curse on it for all the, you know, for whatever, but Mama went and stood in front where that crystal ball used to sit in the pedestal, and she says, I think this is where it started. And I said, Mama, that was just an emblem. I said, you can't. It's up to the person to wonder if something's haunted or cursed or whatever. But what do you get on that house and things being cursed? Do you believe
in
curses? I don't believe in curses.
But I do believe people leave an imprint on this earth.
Definitely.
And, you know, that old saying, could walls talk? I believe words and smells and actions from all the people who've lived in that house from our family are imprinted in those walls. You can paint those walls.
They tore the house down and rebuilt it, though, and it's still, it's twice now they've rebuilt on the corner.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, they had two houses because they had so many kids. Grandma lived in the one behind it. And I used to go there until I was like 13 years old, and it was wild. I'm telling you what, Carmen. Anyway, the things that I learned, that I didn't know I learned until later on in life. Did you know when Grandma, when I turned 13, I went to her and I said, Grandma, you're supposed to give me a cameo. And she went in and got her cameo of her grandmother's. So this is not only my great-grandma's, it's my great-great-great-grandma's cameo.
Wow.
And there's instructions to leave it, you know, that to you and along with all my writings. You know that already, though, don't you?
Well, I figured Ashley would get the cameo.
No. It goes to a Nordman, of course.
And the ironic thing of this is, Kathy, is I was walking. I go walking at nighttime. Matter of fact, after this, I got to go walk 12 miles. We have this beautiful dam that at nighttime you can walk across Lake Murray. And as we were walking, I was listening to my iPod, and I came across the interview you had with Aunt Tilly.
Did you?
So I was listening
to you. I want to tell everybody before you go any further, I started this thing on the Internet when the Internet first started about silphal. You know, and everybody calls everybody a silsta, S-I-L-S-T-A. And it's funny because Aunt Tilly started that by calling. One day she was aggravated, and she called at the beach house when we were all at the beach, and Susan answered the phone, and she goes, "Let me speak to myself." She really had a good interview with me. I'm telling about the
well,
and Uncle Ed, did you get the part where her husband, Uncle Ed, came in and said that's when one part of the family, the children were in the Depression, and the other part was with the wealth and the, you know, all that.
No, see, that's what I was going to tell you. For some reason, I don't know how I got it on my iPod, because I don't even know how to program an iPod, so I have to ask my kids. It says this is the interview one. I don't have the second half.
I have four pieces to it.
Only got one, but I really enjoyed listening to
because
that.
Because it took 18 hours to upload that thing because I get hacked all the time. People won't let me get my information out there. It's like, no. So anyway, what I'll do is I've got them on CDs. It was on a regular cassette tape recorder. It was before I even got into radio because, you know, we all in our Nordman family, like Aunt Rusty's a preacher out boisterously in public, which I will not ever do. I will do it on radio, but I will not do it in public. And then Aunt Tilly is one that is really a great writer of history. Each one, and Ronnie's a musician, and Mom's like the bookkeeper of the century, you know. She was King's College, Queen's Business College, head bookkeeper of the colleges before she and Daddy got married. But the thing is with that interview, she was talking about how Granddaddy came over from Germany because he didn't want to be a part of, he didn't believe in the war, the way that Germans were. And he had brothers that were actually in the war, and how he walked the 13 live children up and down, marched them up and down Queens Road West with an American flag during the World War II, and she goes into all of that.
I had no idea how, you know, because Daddy was the turning point.
Right.
My dad.
Yeah, he was.
When I listened to it, Shirley and Tilly and Freddie and Dickie really had very meager
upbringing. Billy, too, was in there. Tilly, Dickie,
yeah,
Shirley, Buddy, Billy, and then your dad. They had it rough. Your dad still had it semi-rough. Do you know that my son Jason, your dad veered him into architecture because your dad was one of them. What did he do? The Charlotte Coliseum here. And Jason, or he put the bid in for the Charlotte Coliseum. He was a big architect here in Charlotte. And Jason, my son, went to his major was architecture for the first year. And then his godparents veered him into, he loved math so much that he veered into, not quite a doctor, and I'm going to toot his horn a minute. He's working on a almost a three-figure or whatever, $1 million. I'm not going to say how much, but it's over the $50 million mark that his project is working on, and he's going to be on taking a test in November to be on his very own as an engineer.
Wow.
He's got his degree in water and soil and Spanish, too, but your dad had a lot to do with what Jason is today, my son.
Oh, that would be very proud of Jason.
Oh, your dad.
As well as you.
Yeah,
Kathy, I think you're going to be running out of time soon.
Well, Carmen, I hadn't even paid attention to the time. I hadn't even opened the line, as usual again. But
I'm sorry.
I didn't open the lines, except for, you know, I'm grateful that you called in, because it's been an honor and privilege and always a joy to talk to you, Carmen, because we don't ever talk. You know, we're always there with letters with each other, but we never have a chance to talk except for in the summer. Oh, it's summertime. Oh, and think of if you want to come and visit with Uncle Ronnie and Aunt Peggy, Saturday to Sunday, and you can stay here with me.
Well, I would love to do that. I'd already promised the family that got evicted from their apartment that I'd help them move.
Okay.
Help them find a home
Maybe
Saturday,
go and visit them then. We got, like, maybe, I like to, Miss Conrad is coming on after me, and I like to get off the air enough time for them to get Judith's show on. So I'm going to say tonight and place in the energy ball truth, each person's humble truth, that they speak from their heart what their message is from themselves, and feed from their heart, and always be true to yourself. What would you like to place in there? And breath, because energy feeds off of breath and air and oxygen.
Be true to thyself.
Let's kick that off with a deep breath and blow it out there. Thank you, Carmen. I love you. And I love you all, active listeners. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinder, signing off. Over and out. Okay.